Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jill, a registered dietitian. When I meet with patients, they usually think I'm going to tell them to throw out their favorite snacks. But don't worry, your Cheetos are safe. That's not how this works. I help my patients build healthier habits based on their lifestyle and goals without guilt or restriction. Nourish connects dietitians like me with people like you who are ready to take control of their health. Your appointments could be fully covered through your insurance since 94% of Nourish patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
News Radio 105.9. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Monday afternoon, April 7th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Workers from Generation X who are working in creative fields are discovering that their skills are becoming obsolete. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, tariffs are the key economic driver kicking off the new week. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home to discuss their impact, is Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And when we talk about the impact of tariffs on the financial markets, we're now in day three of deep selling. They triggered the circuit breaker on some of the Asian markets overnight because they were selling off at such a rapid clip. When markets are selling off on this tariff news, why specifically are they selling off? What is the one thing that is driving this fear?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rob, and glad to be back with you. So the problem with the tariffs that we've seen since Thursday, and they were pretty controlled in terms of selling before that, the markets were. But after Thursday, everyone realized, oh my goodness, there's a 10% tariff on all these countries, roughly 50. And then some of the tariffs on individual countries were much higher than that in the 30s and in the 40s, and we're already up to 54% on China, and the president's threatening more. So the question then becomes, well, gee, if we buy all this stuff from China and it ends up in Walmart and Target and places like that, what's going to happen to those prices? And what's going to happen to the consumers who are looking, you know, to buy these things? And then the answer is, well, we don't really know yet. Then there's some of these goods that are component parts. Like if you buy a car, the parts are likely made in China or Mexico, and the components can cross the border several times before that component is finally ready to install into the car, into the engine. And so you could have tariffs on those components every time they cross the border, 25% each time. So then the question becomes, well, goodness, how much more could a new car cost? And so with firms not sure and consumers not sure what the answers are to those questions, you get some selling, quite a lot of it.
Uncertainty when it comes to business investment and even the larger issue here is uncertainty when it comes to potentially unraveling trade as it has existed for decades. How long will it take to really get a handle on what this means if the tariffs are implemented?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question. I mean, look, a tariff is just a tax. And if you put a tax on a good, people will buy something else. And the question becomes, well, if we have tariffs on everything from everybody to some degree, then what are we going to be able to buy? And of those components, what will U.S. firms be able to buy from overseas to assemble into the final washing machine or the final automobile? And we just won't know until they stop going up or until some of these firms make these adjustments. You know, if tariffs are only 10% on some Latin American countries, but they're 45% on Vietnam and Malaysia, well, then some of these U.S. companies might look overseas to Latin America instead of Asia. But of course, factories take time to build. So we'll probably know a lot more in the coming weeks as firms begin to tell us what their forward guidance is going to be for the next 12 months on earnings. We'll be able to hear which firms are anticipating a lot of problems, which firms are anticipating fewer problems. So for consumers and investors, paying attention to these earnings reports will be important, and not so much for what happened in Q1, first quarter, but for what happens going forward.
And earnings season starts this week. Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, some members of Generation X facing a career crisis.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
At what should be their career peak, seasoned creative professionals are discovering their once valuable skills are now outdated in a rapidly changing workplace. Joining us to discuss this is Rob Barnett, headhunter and career advisor, author of the book Next Job, Best Job, the website robbarnettmedia.com. Rob, thank you for joining us today. And I saw this story in the New York Times last weekend, and it really spoke to me because it described a lot of people that I know in various forms of media over the last 25 years that I've been in broadcast radio. And I have watched the industry changed rapidly since April 22nd of 2000, when I first opened a mic professionally. And the remarkable thing about the transition is that it happened very quickly, and it happened to a lot of people. So you can't really say that maybe they weren't future-oriented, because the pace of change in media, Rob, has been head-spinning.
No question. And, you know, the article got a lot of people talking. The New York Times called it the Gen X career meltdown. And the headline certainly got attention. But as you said, there were war stories in there from a lot of people between those magic ages of 45 and 60 that had been downsized, laid off, and job eliminated, and all those horrible other words that add up to fired. But what it means is that you've got to get out there now and get the help that you need to make these career pivots. The article was specific to media, but in every industry, technology always creates the change. So we're working with job seekers every day in one-on-one sessions to help them figure out how to make a career pivot, how to have the skills that can transfer to the other industries and the other work that's out there.
And some of the examples that the article cited, they were talking about magazine journalists who did everything right. They were in the trenches back in the 90s. They thought they were at some very desirable and in-demand titles, and then just watched the digital revolution completely upend the pay scale. But they're also talking about people in advertising, graphic designers, photographers, people who were the linchpins of multi-million dollar ad campaigns that were featured on broadcast television. Just finding out very recently that they could do the same with a $6,000 influencer and not a $60 million ad campaign. So that's what we're talking about here, Rob. And the most important thing is that even though your particular industry may not need you anymore, your skills are still in demand across a variety of industries, just as long as you know how to package them.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there are still plenty of jobs out there in media companies, big, medium, and small. But people who've worked in media their whole lives can now take those skills directly into brands. Brands behave on social media just like everyone else. And a brand that's trying to sell a product needs the skills of media people in their company to teach them how to communicate one-on-one with their consumers.
One thing that we have talked about in numerous employment segments on this show is just the power of networking. And here is something that I have heard from other media people, and they say, I need to start networking. I need to start getting my name out there and introducing myself to people. But my professional network consists of people entirely in my industry, people who are in the same boat as I am. And so if you want to reach out into corporate communications, you want to reach out into PR, if you want to reach out into some other industry that could use your skills. How do you do that? Is it simply just a matter of cold calling people or hitting them up on LinkedIn?
Well, LinkedIn is definitely home base for where people need to be spending most of their time. But let's face it, Rob, just about all of us, and I bet most people listening, did not get that job in the past from just pressing the apply button. It almost always comes because someone was willing to make a real introduction to the decision maker, to the hiring manager at these companies. And that's what we're trying to do with candidates every day, is work with them to understand that ChatGPT and AI are not going to necessarily give you that job. It's the human contact, not just with human resources, but with people that are willing to make the introductions to the hiring managers themselves.
And then very quickly, Rob, I mean, we talk about this as a dire situation, a stressful situation, and it can be, but it can also be invigorating. It can also be an opportunity to tackle a new challenge.
It is, and we are still, if we check my watch, yes, we're still in a free country, and we're still in the ability for everyone that's listening to us right now to make that career change, to make that pivot. But in order to do it, you've got to take a look at that resume. You got to take a look at that LinkedIn and figure out how to represent yourself so that you look like the jobs that you want. And that's a process we work with people doing every single day. Those resumes and LinkedIns, if they look generic, if they look like everyone else's, you're going to stay at the bottom of the stack. But you've got to figure out a way how to present yourself uniquely, credibly, and as the individual that you are. We're trying to get people to stop throwing away these generic resumes.
Rob Barnett, headhunter and career advisor, author of the book Next Job, Best Job. Find him online, robbarnettmedia.com.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Easter brunch is booking fast. Reserve now or risk missing out. And when you go, bring some cash because your server will thank you more than you know. We welcome in Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality in Chicago. Doug, thank you for joining us today. And on the restaurant calendar, how big of a business day is the Easter brunch?
Well, it's right up there with Mother's Day. In fact, this year, it could reach close to $24 billion, which is an increase of about 6.36 over last year. Again, obviously with the uncertainty out there, but they're looking for about a 6% increase over last year. It's big, and it's important.
So not to pat myself on the back too hard, Doug, but I have already reserved our Easter brunch. So and that was about 3 weeks ago. So I certainly took the advice that we dole out on the Noon Business Hour every day and made sure to book that Easter brunch well in advance. But we're talking about Easter's 2 weeks away. Is that too late?
No, there's still availability. And one place that you may want to go to is Eater, which is a good website to take a look at as to who is doing brunches. And it's really brunches from every type of restaurant, from Latin all the way up to steak. And you'll find a real good variety of places to go to. You know, and the other thing, too, is it's interesting as well as to do brunch at home. There was a great article that Food and Wine has out as of the last couple of days about some really different and interesting opportunities to do at home as well. And then finally, there's carryout, which obviously is big for restaurants, almost a third of their business. And you can certainly bring it in, and it helps both the restaurant and it also helps you not to have to cook.
Now, if you are going out to brunch on Easter, that also means the people who are working at the restaurant, they will be away from their families on what can be a very substantial holiday. So if you want to make sure you let your servers know that you're thinking about them on a day like Easter, what's one thing you can do outside of just tipping generously?
Well, I think it's also being understanding. The fact is you have a lot of people in the restaurant, and in addition to that, there's a lot of pressure because Easter, like Mother's Day, you really want things to go well. And if you can have a level of patience and understanding, and also realize that, as you mentioned before, too, that it's their holiday as well, And so besides that, and also, as you were indicating before, too, hey, there's nothing like cash. It's king when it comes to dining and it comes to, obviously, your server.
And why is it important to tip in cash versus just leaving it on your credit card bill?
Well, we won't necessarily get yet into the tax implications on that, but there are some. But in addition to that, you get it right away, obviously. And in many cases, depending on the restaurant, you may have to wait sometimes a week or so before you actually see the realization of that particular exchange. So it's nice to get it that day and to be able to take it home with you.
Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, the ripple effect of the hit HBO Max series White Lotus. And oh, by the way, it's a spoiler-free discussion.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Leewood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A settlement's been reached with the families of the victims of a Boeing jet crash overseas several years ago. A legal scuffle over a mistaken deportation by the Trump administration has major constitutional implications. The HBO series White Lotus has wrapped up its latest season. We'll discuss how brands tied to the show are being impacted, and at Stock Picker Monday, we'll get a pair of suggestions from an investor. Pro. WBBM Business. The markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 329 points. The NASDAQ is up 36. The S&P 500 is down 11. We have 37 degrees right now in Chicago. Under cloudy skies, it's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour. A settlement's been reached between Boeing and the families of two victims of a 2019 plane crash in Ethiopia. Attorney Tony Romanucci represents Yelena Lopez-Lewis, who lost her husband Antoine in that crash.
There was nothing that was going to prevent her from trying this case unless Boeing came with full financial accountability, and we're pleased.
The trial had been scheduled to begin in Chicago this morning. A crisis could emerge in Washington tonight, according to an expert on the Constitution.
We are in a shocking and really troubling circumstance.
Hofstra University constitutional law professor James Sample says a constitutional crisis could emerge if the federal government refuses to honor a judge's order to return a 29-year-old Maryland man mistakenly sent back to his native country of El Salvador by midnight.
The system falls apart when the actors in it don't recognize checks and balances.
U.S. lawyers said in a court filing the deportation was an administrative error. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. The markets are lower once again. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, thank you for joining us today. And when we saw the futures markets open yesterday afternoon and when the Asian markets opened early in the evening, I thought that we would be talking about possibly a halting of trading today, that the circuit breaker would be triggered. But markets surprised us today, starting with a tweet that turned out to be erroneous. But it seems like markets are deciding to bounce today instead of taking the escalator down.
Yeah, well, that escalator down, it was been pretty ferocious. If you look at the Thursday-Friday combo post the April 2nd delivery of the proposed tariffs, you know, being down more than 10% on a two-day stretch, you'd have to go back to 1987 to see that kind of a two-day stretch. So we, and before that, we spent about 6 or 7 weeks trying to price in some worst-case scenarios and didn't quite get there by the time Liberation Day rolled around. So anyway you frame it up, the market is very oversold by any metric that you would use. And it didn't take much of a modicum of what turned out to be fake news to see the market bounce about 8% intraday on the S&P 500 from being, you know, call it down 5% to being up 3%. And so it just shows you how coiled up this market is for any kind of good news in this fog of a trade war here.
And I want to just talk about that particular incorrect item that was out this morning. And if you spend any time on X, the Everything app, the former Twitter, you no doubt have seen the work of one Walter Bloomberg, who is a guy named Bloomberg. He is not connected to the financial news agency at all. And he just posts headlines in all caps and people share them all the time. And I think it seems like he misinterpreted an interview of a Trump administration official on Fox who said that there would be a 90-day pause in the implementation of tariffs that turned out to be incorrect. But you saw markets jump 8% on that bit of information alone. So how much of this is people reacting to the tweet versus algorithms reacting to a tweet?
I don't think anybody's fast enough as a person to react that quickly to what turns out to be a headline that was picked up by algos. But it also, you know, shows you just how coiled up this market is, having been down for 7 weeks, coming into a disastrous end of last week, and, you know, extremely oversold. So I think the overarching point is it's not going to take a modicum of good news. You know, talking about negotiations, talking about perhaps having some flexibility, talking about, you know, finding ways to make some of these tariffs go away for this market to rebound a bit in the short run. But unfortunately, we're just not there today. And I think that the fake headline was just a hint to investors that, you know, you don't want to try to time this market, right? If you're a long-term investor, you're not able to time it because some of the most aggressive up days are following terrible down sessions.
And then you see, like, since last week, just the degree of selling that has been taking place, when people or algorithms cash out of equities, when they sell out of the stock market, where do they go? Where do they put their money in times like this?
Well, for the most part, what we've seen, Rob, over the course of the last 6 or 7 weeks has been very defensive in nature. So people have been hiding in treasuries, and that's why we saw yields go down from 4.8% to 3.8% on the 10-year. Gold, which set a new high virtually every week over the course of the last 7 weeks. But even some of the defensive sectors like consumer staples and utilities and healthcare, the things you need versus the things you want, were really turning into the places that investors went. And what they ended up selling the most of were things like technology and discretionary. So there was some logic to that rotation into the defensive sectors and asset classes, and we'll likely continue to see that. But the oversold nature of this market, especially on those things that have been hit the hardest, like tech and consumer discretionary, likely is what's going to bounce the most once we get some of this good news and hear about some negotiations.
Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a look at the effect of the hit series White Lotus on brands affiliated with it.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The popular HBO series The White Lotus is making a major impact on brands featured in the show, and there are clear winners and losers. We're joined by Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. And I must say that today's White Lotus discussion is spoiler-free. If there's anything I have learned from my time in this industry, the most controversial thing I ever said on the radio that made the most people mad was when I accidentally spilled the beans on the Breaking Bad finale 3 days after the show aired. So I learned people watch shows on their own time, so we will not discuss the plot points from yesterday. But the thing about a show like the White Lotus is that it can be lucrative for the brands featured on the show, or it could also cause headaches for brands featured on the show.
Indeed it can, Rob. Thanks for having me. And I had not, we talk about people not, you know, watching the series on their own. I had not finished watching the finale last night because I was way too tired and didn't want to miss it. So I did watch the finale this morning before I came on, just to, but no, I won't spoil it. I won't spoil it, but you're right. This whole series, all three series, are just full of brands. And, you know, when brands are pretty big on doing this because it gives them a way to strategically integrate their product and reach the audiences in what could be considered kind of a subtle, maybe even a seemingly natural way, like you see a lot of Macs on TV or Diet Coke or an iPhone or something like that. And the reason why is because the brands want to be aspirational. So while these characters might not be aspirational, their clothes, their jewelry, the whole, you know, the vacation, the whole thing might be very aspirational. And we saw a lot of that with some of these brands dropping in. Four Seasons, of course, has gotten a ton of business from this, at least increases in their website. And, you know, we're seeing, you know, Jim Thompson, which is a high-end designer, when...
And a great governor, by the way.
Yes, he was. I thought the same thing when I was thinking about that. She wore this like silk kimono style dress, Parker Posey, who played. His sales jumped up by 671%. So consider what the impact of a show like this that is as popular as this is, has on a brand.
And then very quickly, though, if you are Duke, one of the characters is a Duke alum and did some rather unseemly things in a Duke T-shirt. So it could also give you a great deal of heartburn if your brand is featured, but not in a flattering way.
Exactly. And especially after Duke had that devastating loss this weekend, the memes that went up with the Parker Timothy Radcliffe with the gun at his head were just all over social media. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think this was such a bad thing. Duke's claims it did not give, they didn't even know it was going to be on and did not give any okay to do it. And they're not terribly happy about it because, you know, the guy was, you know, considered murder-suicide, the whole bit. But the fact of the matter is Duke is, it's a prestigious institution, and they really played that up like, hey, I went to Duke. I'm smart. I'm a Duke maker. And they really played that up. And so I think Duke is getting a lot better, what's the word I'm looking for, promo out of this, rather than just the gun to the head with the Duke T-shirt on. You know, they're getting recognized as, obviously, Saxon was a frat boy, and he, you know, talked about going to Duke too a lot. So I think it was a plus for Duke.
Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter, thank you for joining us today.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday today on the Noon Business Hour. Helping us out is Matt Shapiro, president MWS Capital in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. Two selections, but Matt, I think it'd be fair to say, especially after the sell-off we have seen since last Thursday, that maybe the stock pick should be all of them, because everything's on sale.
It really is. And I guess the S&P 500, as you quote, up 14 points right now. So I guess nothing really happened. But of course, we've had a crazy historic range, not only today, but over the last couple of days. And I just want to address investors listening that the luxury of being an individual investor is, yes, you face the pullbacks. They're painful, not fun, but you always have maybe a little bit of cash in the cupboard or something you can shift around to take advantage. And so here, my two stocks, starting with NVIDIA, of course, one of the most important stocks in the stock market, opened at $87.46 this morning. $87.46. It's near 100. that is a almost 10%, 15% jump intraday. NVIDIA has a PE ratio now of just 21, and it's growing extremely rapidly. There are no tariffs on semiconductors. Obviously, the whole trade situation is concerning for all kinds of trade. But, you know, here's an example of one of the best stocks in the market, really low this morning. And now, hopefully, with the market turning back up, a quick turnaround.
And your other selection, another one, which is a traditional high flyer.
Yes, Amazon this morning traded 161 in the morning. Obviously, lots of concerns with Amazon because, you know, many people buy all the stuff on Amazon imported from China again. But Amazon back down to really a five-year relative low this morning, like hadn't gone anywhere since the end of 2021. We know, obviously, one of the most amazing companies in the world, you know, despite various controversies. However, forward PE of 25 again. Fast-growing company, really low, 161, now 175, up $14, I guess 9% from the open.
Matt Shapiro, President, MWS Capital in Chicago. Thank you for joining us on this Stock Picker Monday. His selections, NVIDIA, NVDA, and Amazon, AMZN.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.